What's up, everyone? This is Anthony Pompliano. Most of you know me as Pomp. You're listening to the Pomp Podcast, simply the best podcast out there. Let's kick this thing off. Rachel Feinstein is a stand-up comedian. She's also a new mother and married to a New York Fire Department captain, which provides a never-ending amount of hilarious content. In this conversation, we discuss having a baby during coronavirus, the impact of the economic shock to comedians, and what has been going on inside New York firehouses over the last few months. I really enjoyed this conversation with Rachel, and it was as funny as ever. So I hope you enjoy it as well. Before we get into this episode, though, I want to quickly talk about our sponsors. First up is CoinList. Smart investors know being early is critical to success in crypto. CoinList is where early adopters invest in, earn, and trade the best new crypto assets before they list on other exchanges. You can try CoinList Pro and be first to trade a bunch of different things as soon as they launch. You can sign up today via coinlist.co/pomp. Again, coinlist.co/pomp. You'll earn $10 in Bitcoin after you trade your first $100. So remember, being early is critical to success. CoinList is where early adopters invest in, earn, and trade the best new crypto assets before they list on other exchanges. Head on over to coinlist.co/pomp and get started today. $10 free in Bitcoin after you trade your first $100, coinlist.co/pomp. Next up is Athletic Brewing. They're all about reimagining beer for the modern adult. They've got great tasting beer that happens to have no alcohol and be a mere fraction of the calories of even the lightest beers. In today's modern, mindful, performance-driven world, there's just no time for hangovers. With Athletic beers, you can have the full relaxing ritual of drinking a great beer to wind down the day with your dinner or day drinking without derailing the rest of your day or week. If you're looking for a great beer for Sunday through Thursday nights, Athletic's got you covered. Their beers have won awards on multiple continents, including the World Beer Awards Best Non-Alcoholic Beer multiple times. They've even won awards for full-strength beers. I've got an entire fridge stocked of it, and every time my brothers come over, they just start chugging them. So give them a try. Use code POMP25, P-O-M-P-2-5, to get 25% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. Again, use POMP25 for 25% off your first order at athleticbrewing.com. Also, they now accept Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies, so if they're supporting crypto and Bitcoin, you should go support them. athleticbrewing.com, use code POMP25. Lastly, don't forget that I write a daily letter to over 75,000 investors about business, technology, and finance. I break down complex topics into easy-to-understand language while sharing my personal opinion on various aspects of each industry. You can subscribe at pompletter.com. Again, pompletter.com. All right, let's get into this episode with Rachel. I hope you guys enjoy this one.
Anthony Pompliano is a partner at Morgan Creek Digital. All opinions expressed by Pomp or his guests on this podcast are solely their opinions and do not reflect the opinions of Morgan Creek Digital or Morgan Creek Capital Management. You should not treat any opinion expressed by Pomp as a specific inducement to make a particular investment or follow a particular strategy, but only as an expression of his opinion. This podcast is for informational purposes only.
All right, guys. Bang, bang. Rachel is back for round two. What's going on? How are you?
Hey, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. I feel like you have a crazy, crazy life to begin with. And now you've got Corona. You have a new baby. You have a husband who is a firefighter, who I'm sure is doing all kinds of awesome, cool, crazy things. What has been going on in your life over the last couple of months?
Like a really cool time to have a baby with the first responder in Brooklyn, like around May. I was just like really feeling that. Yeah, it was crazy. But I will say there's a few benefits to a COVID birth, even though there are no commercials for a COVID birth. There are a few benefits, like no fear of missing out, no unwanted guests. All you have to say is, sorry, we're trying not to kill her. So there were a couple perks. But it was strange. It was definitely strange to be married to a firefighter during that time. I mean, I get a kick out of being married to a fireman. Usually it's just something I could like whore out at airports and try to get upgrades with, you know, but it definitely got a little bit real around Corona. That's what I'm like, oh, this isn't as fun loving a time as it was before.
What exactly was going on? So let's talk about the baby first. You obviously were pregnant before Corona happened. Then you have a child during this whole thing. Were you nervous? Were you scared? Were you excited? Because then you didn't have to deal with people. Like, what were you feeling going through?
I mean, I was definitely scared. I'm not one of those women that is pumped up about pregnancy to begin with. So that was a little tough. I mean, I hadn't told people in the beginning because I had recently sold this pilot to Fox based on my life and being married to an FDNY firefighter and just kind of my life with my Jewish liberal, aggressively liberal parents that would have preferred me marrying like a Nigerian lesbian or something. And now my new life of like Staten Island dinner dances and everyone's name is like Gina. So I sold a pilot about that and I was really excited. Then I got pregnant and I was like, wait, this is going to shoot in March when I'll be like an actual whale. Like I won't be able to hold any laundry basket that can cover it. And my character wouldn't hold laundry baskets anyway. My character, which is me. So I was kind of like, fuck, that's not good timing. And then I was just covering it. I was just dressing like Bea Arthur, a lot of oversized Paula Poundstone blazers. And then COVID happened and I was like, oh, it was never going to even shoot in March anyway. So it was a set of problems I never expected to have, you know, because my worst fear of being when I was being pregnant was that I would kind of like be isolated and dependent. And then I was, but for completely different reasons. So, you know, she's healthy. And as a mother, I start all my sentences that way. By the way, now I just go as a mother and then I just pass out drunk after that. But I'm grateful for that. But no, I was not into it. All my friends wanted me to like have a home birth. I was like, fuck that. I want like this lady was like, what are the words that you want surrounding your birth? Like, and I was like, I don't know. Like, I don't have a vision. I just want like doctors and I don't know, sterile. I guess that would be a good word around my birth. Vanity, drugs. I just wanted to be crunching on drugs and a sterile hospital environment. And it was hard to find that in COVID in New York. So we moved up to a hospital up to Westchester. And it was weird. I had gestational diabetes. So I had to like prick myself 5 times a day because the hospital couldn't do any. I mean, I had to do all virtual appointments. They couldn't do any like diabetic in-person checks for a few months. We couldn't do a sonogram. So there was like a lot of crazy stuff. But then she turned out pretty good.
I feel like going through this is, it kind of removes a lot of the bullshit of like the kind of, I'll call it like medical theater. Like, I feel like there's a lot of just people trying to make people feel good and happy and safe during a lot of this, but like the actual process, I've got a friend right now that's pregnant. And for the longest time, like she would go to the doctor, but like, her significant other couldn't go with her. Right. And so like, there's all these things where like, it's kind of weird where you don't have like the emotional support, but at the same time, like, I don't know, 50 different visits gets cut down to like the 20 essential ones.
Yeah.
And so it's like kind of this like really weird, like, is that a positive or is that a negative? I'm not really sure, but it seems to have worked out.
There are odd benefits to it for sure. And the time where you'd be at home nesting, we were doing that, you know, anyway, and not feeling like we were missing out on everything. So there were some weird benefits for sure. And it was just like in the beginning, remember in March when like, first of all, when I found out I was in Florida on the road. So everybody at home was pissed that I was in Florida and everybody in Florida was pissed because I canceled my shows halfway through the weekend. And then you feel terrible as a comic ever doing that because you're letting the staff down. And if I wasn't pregnant, I would have just kept performing. But I was like, it'd be really awkward if I, you know, killed my baby at like Captain Brian's in Florida comedy club. It would just be a really, it wouldn't be a good look, you know?
but Florida was open. They were chilling. They would have let you keep
they
doing
it. They were, oh yeah. It was bustling. I mean, the shows were full. I don't know if, and it wasn't even because of me. They were just, yeah, that was around the time where you couldn't get a loaf of bread or like toilet paper in Brooklyn. But Florida, I would just like mentioned to the lady at the hotel we were staying at. And she would just like blink at me. Like, what? Just this weird lobotomized blink. Like, what, Corona? Everything's fine.
So, yeah. So I, in maybe July, I went to Florida to see somebody. It was an important thing, right? And when I went, I felt like there was two very different worlds. Like literally New York, everyone's walking around with the masks, like, you know, very serious. Like now there's toilet paper at the grocery store. Like, so things are kind of like getting a little normal, but still very serious. In Florida, they were chilling. Like, I don't know if there was ever a period where they weren't chilling, but they were just hanging out. There was no problem whatsoever.
Yeah.
And they were like looking at people. If you wore a mask, you were weird.
Yes, for sure. Definitely. And so I was walking around in that in March when it was like, remember when we found out Tom Hanks had it and like a couple guys from the Golden State Warriors and everybody was like, oh, then we can get it too, since we have so much in common. It was very strange. Remember how that made it real for everyone? They're like, Tom Hanks, I'm next, obviously. since we have all the same friends. But that was strange. And that was, and then I had my mother on the phone, like, you know, just yelling at me, like, how can you do this with COVID-19? And I'm like, nobody says the 19 anymore. My mom is still saying the 19. And I'm like,
where does she live again?
My mom lives in Maryland. And yeah, I mean, she didn't even meet the baby until like 4 months. They were just, they had bags over their heads for like 4 months. They were just like in a hefty plastic bag. So,
all right. So all this is going on. You eventually have the child. Meanwhile, we go through COVID, which I have no clue what firemen were doing during COVID, but I wouldn't want to be a fireman or a police officer during any of that. And then we get the protests, and then we get like riots, I guess. I don't know. There was like some protests, some riots. Sometimes they were mixed. Sometimes they weren't.
It's funny. My family called them protests and his family called them riots. It was amazing. Like, my mom was like, are you going to join any of the protests? And his family like, watch out for the riots. It's funny. Yeah. They, thank God there was no, defund the fire department. That would have been awkward. But, yeah,
I feel like, firemen are kind of safe. Like, no one ever like goes at the fire department because they realize like when the fire starts, you want somebody to show up to put it out.
Yeah. I mean, there's definitely moments when, like, if I'm having an argument with him on the street when he's in his uniform, that I wouldn't mind walking by a protest of people, you know, against him. But there's got to be some cop who's like, his wife is just like, yeah, yell at him for me today. Thank you. You know, but no, everybody gets around. I mean, everybody likes firemen. And what's not to like about, I mean, you know, the scene could be what it is, but they tend to be pretty hot. I like being a firewife or badge banger. That's what I prefer to call
it. Wait, what are they called?
Firewife is one of the terms I tried to get started, but it couldn't really get much traction.
Okay.
So now I just identify as a badge banger.
So what was he doing this entire time?
Well, okay. So he was... I realize how, as I watch you try to keep up with what I'm saying, I realize I am quite manic.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I feel like we're talking about a person who, like kind of exists, kind of doesn't, because every time, last time you came on and this time, we don't say his name. We don't say what he does. We just say fireman. And then you just rattle off a bunch of funny stories.
I'll make him pass by at some point. He saw you on CNN or something. So he was very impressed. I think it was CNN. You were on CNN, right?
Good. I tricked him. Yes.
Speaking perfect. Finance in a very, in an impressive looking suit.
That suit was from Kohl's. Let's not call it expensive or impressive. High, yeah.
So yeah. So he totally knows who you are and you're on all his crypto apps. So I'll make him come through.
If anyone didn't listen to the first episode, Rachel's husband is a fire chief. If I remember correctly,
he's a fire captain, but he just passed his chief test, so he will be a chief.
Okay, and he is a secret Bitcoiner, or is he an outed Bitcoiner?
He's outed.
Outed. Yeah. And my favorite part of the last episode was Rachel told a story where other people from the fire department come over and they just yell things either about the government, Bitcoin, or lock her up. And I said, that sounds about like every Bitcoiner on Twitter.
Oh yeah. Lock her up. But no, it's a lot. Yeah, there's always, and they all scream about the founding fathers when they're drunk. There's a lot of founding fathering. And then they come home with like conspiracy theories. Like he goes to the firehouse and he comes back. I have to make sure. And he'll come back like, Vinny said they legit went to the moon. I'm like, no, they did. Like Vinny knows nothing. And don't believe anything after someone says legit. Please stop listening. But yeah, they come home because they have access to his brain for like, more of the week than I do. So I can only undo so much. There's a lot of pamphlets going around.
What's the craziest conspiracy theory that you've heard?
This wasn't Pete specifically, but I was at this dinner dance, one of the Staten Island dinner dance. I'm always the only Jew too. I'm just
What was a dinner dance? What are these?
FDNY dinner dances where you go with your man, and then it's like he just deposits me at like some shrimp station, you know, with these Goodfellas extras, and and then they do, it's like FDNY dances, and so.
Do you dance with him or do the firemen dance with each other?
I dance with him, but that would be great. I would watch a couple of greased firemen dancing with each other. I'd prefer them greased. But yeah, no, we dance with each other. There's just like food and, you know, a lot of acrylics, you know, with star, like stars and stripes on them and shit. And yeah, that's the world basically. And so there's usually like Gina, Vinny, what are the other names? There's like four names, you know, maybe Colleen.
Are they all like neighbors?
Yeah, everybody knows each other. And they usually tell me when they know another Jew. Like one of the other chiefs was like, I met a Jew, a very nice lady, very nice lady. Yom Kippur? Huh? Like they'll just say one Jew thing they've heard of. It's a lot.
Does it buy street cred?
No, I mean, when people like drop that one Jew thing, it's alarming. Yeah, it's like, I think they don't see anything but a Jew when they're talking to me. They're just like Jew. They just see like a giant J. It's just like, I'm talking to a Jew. Like, they just see like little horns or a rope, I don't know, floating the Star of David or some shit. It's strange. I'm not even religious, but they just hear my name and they're like, Jew, I know a Jew, you know? So anyway, so he leaves me at some table and this guy comes up and he was like, you gotta come with me and my wife to Epcot. And then he goes, that's the real Japan at Epcot. That's Japan. And then he goes, people think you gotta spend all this cash and fly all the way to Japan, but it's a fucking scam. He referred to traveling the world as a scam and Epcot as reality somehow.
To be fair to some people, he's not wrong.
No, people believe it's Japan. They think it's, I mean, we went. We did go. Yeah.
Did you go with him or by yourselves?
We went with another fireman couple, actually. Yeah. We went to Epcot and then, you know, him too. He was like, so you don't even have to go because it's here. It's here.
I mean, there's too many things to go there. All right, let's talk about stand-up. There's so much going on. You don't know the story yet, but maybe in like April, I got an email from somebody and they were like, hey, I need you to come on this live stream. This is when everyone was like figuring out like, what is Zoom? And they were like, oh, I have a camera on my laptop. I didn't know I had that. And there's microphones and they were trying to figure it all out. And this guy was like, we're having a virtual event. This was the first virtual event that I was going to participate in. I was like, what is that? He goes, we're going to take the real event. We're going to put it online. I was like, this is going to be a disaster. And so he said, and after you are going to be these two comedians. I don't remember their names. They weren't somebody that I'd recognized. And it was the first time that I saw how hard it was going to be for comedians to basically talk into their laptop with no fan reactions or audience reactions and just hope that it's going well. Like it was.
Yeah. It's not a virtual sport, you know?
So talk a little bit just about like, what have you been doing from a comedy side? And then like now as things are opening up, kind of what's the plan?
I mean, stand up has taken a massive, massive hit. So it's just like, I took for granted the money I could make in a weekend, especially if you're headlining, you know, what the features. Now, I'm sorry, it's the opposite. The people that are featuring, opening, okay? When I used to open, you barely cover your travel. It's just the way you build up and try to, you know, build a fan base, basically. So the people that are featuring are the most screwed, and the openers, and I was there, and you're barely making ends meet anyways. You sell a CD or something like that, like online album or something to try to make extra cash on top of what you're making. Some headliners will cover your, you know, hotel or travel. And I always did that if anybody was featuring for me. But now we're making, you know, I mean, less than a third or, I mean, maybe a fifth of what we were making because we can't, they all want, if they are opening a club, it's going to be a third of capacity. And then, or they're doing it outside. I'm performing on like fields and fire escapes. It's not okay. I did this show in somebody's backyard recently and there was like some people outside in Brooklyn, and they were like, don't talk, whatever you do, before I got on stage, if you can call it that. Somebody goes, listen, whatever you do, don't talk to the lady in blue hair. She's been screaming about the patriarchy and she's really drunk. And I was like, can you just like kick her out? And they were like, no, it's her yard. And I was like, okay, fair. But that in a nutshell is where we're at. Like, I had such arrogance as a comic because we've always, since I started headlining, you get work because people go to comedy clubs and it's been a somewhat successful business. At least if you can't make your money and if you don't get this pilot picked up or this writing job or whatever, you always have stand up because you could just jump on stage. You don't need anybody else. You don't need that's why I always feel sorry for people in bands because such a skill I don't have and they don't need me to feel sorry for them. I mean, I also envy them, but I'm like, they have to wait on like four other guys and, you know, and a drum set and the guitar and like equipment. We can just go on and do stand up and it's the best. You get to write it. You control so many aspects of it. It's a very independent thing, you know, and you can tweak your act to fit all these factors, you know, how old, how young, how PC, how are they Trump people? Are they super liberal or, you know, whatever. So I just always made money doing it no matter what I was waiting on. And there's been plenty of like heartbreak with, you know, with those like pilots or TV things or whatever. But I took it for granted because I just couldn't imagine a scenario that would destroy it like that, you know? So, I mean, couldn't work at all for months. And I'd never gone that long without doing stand-up since I started stand-up when I was like 20, 21. I haven't gone like, you know, a week or two without doing stand-up. So
you get rusty?
The most was probably my honeymoon, which was like 2 weeks. Yeah.
Do you get rusty?
I forgot like my material, like things that I've done for years. It was crazy. Like stuff that, this is like the joke I do when I'm bombing and I'm kind of embarrassed and hope a comic's not in the room to see it. But it's like that easy bit I know will do well. And I grab it when I'm having a tough set. Like those bits I forgot. It was so strange. I was like, people always ask you, they go, how do you remember it all? And I'm always like, it's not a thing. They're your stories. You know them, but you forget it. If you don't do it for months, you forget how it goes. I was just on stage, like mixing up a setup and a punch. You're just lost, you know? So now that's why I'm going up at all these free places in between or any comedy club that's having a show on their patio, just because I want to remember how to do it for when I am headlining in a local field or, you know, some sort of heated tent.
They're coming. what are you hearing from like the comedy clubs themselves in terms of I'm assuming one, they're struggling just like every small business that's got a physical location, but two, have they been able to do certain things to maybe kind of get some kind of revenue when they were shut down, or how do they look at kind of moving forward?
A lot of them are closing some of my favorite clubs in the world. One of my favorite clubs in Austin, this club Cap City, that I've played for years, and they're just like, it's just an awesome family owned, cool place. And they shut down. I was like, no way. A lot of them are shutting down or they're going to have to shut down. It's impending. And in New York, the way I feel is it's very low here right now. COVID is really low. So if they're opening restaurants, we should open comedy clubs so that they don't all fall apart. You know, I understand when it was high, why we had to close them. But now if they're going to slowly open up restaurants and it is under 1% in New York, I'm like, then open up comedy clubs because people are dining. They're allowed to take their masks off when they're dining and, you know, see how it goes. And if it doesn't go well, then close them back up again. But
are they not opening them
laugh right now? No, they're not.
Why is that? Like they just kind of like nightclubs?
They have, it's some sort of idea about the comic. I don't know, their face being exposed or something. I mean, Cuomo is the one who doesn't want to open it. And Schumer, the senator, Chuck Schumer, has this bill like Save Our Stages that he's trying to push through to open up comedy again. So I'm really hoping that bill goes through for now, especially because I feel like people need it. And obviously we need it to live and we don't want all our favorite clubs and places to shut down. But while we can, I say like, let's get some in and see how it goes. You know, if you're opening up restaurants, it's essentially the same thing. People have their masks off when they're inside of restaurants. So it's like, why can't the one comedian have their mask off and just perform? at a third of capacity or however they're opening up. So I feel like it's worth trying.
I went and I've gotten two haircuts last month, which is like more than I got the whole year because I basically just, you know, let it loose and said whatever during Corona. And both times they've got like the temperature gun. And each time that they like shoot you with this temperature gun, I'm like, first of all, how do I know that you're taking my temperature and you're not like somehow putting some shit in my brain or, you know,
like
whatever.
Like a true libertarian. That's something my husband would say. I'm like, no one cares. No one's putting a chip in you. Oh my God. That's the kind of shit he says all the time. How do I know they're not like actually reading my thoughts?
I feel like me and your husband would get along really well.
Lock her up.
No. So like they got this temperature gun thing, but, and like, that's fine, whatever. Like, I get it. You want to check the temperature. I don't know if necessarily you know whether I have COVID or not based on this temperature check thing, but somebody said somewhere that they do. So fine. But then you go, you sit down, they're going to cut your hair. And she's like, leave your mask on. And I was like, okay, that's going to be weird, but like, sure, we'll give this a shot. Starts cutting. And then at one point she's like, can you take it off of your ear, but like hold it over your mouth still. And I was like, what is going on here? Yeah. Like they have
distinctions get a little confusing.
They have like plexiglass, but it's not like fully encapsulating. Like the plexiglass basically just goes to like where the person sitting down shoulder is. So like, does the virus like not go under the plexiglass or around it? It's just very weird.
It is very confusing. A lot of like the smaller distinctions, you know, and I think some of it is probably like theater, just like airport security is, you know, but like, I don't know. It's confusing. But then I guess I do think that like some things got to help. I mean, I have no information though with formal education, I should point out. So I don't know.
My favorite thing to say is I'm not a scientist and I literally have no clue what's true anymore. Like I have no clue. Right. It's just like, there's like some common sense things and I'm like, okay, I'm just going to put my mask on and just like, go do whatever they tell me. Fine. Like I'll play this game.
I guess it can't hurt, you know? I mean, I do think that like some amount of, we got to take some measures, right? And then see how it goes. But I do think it's insane to say just like restaurants can open, but comedy clubs can't, and it's unnecessarily punishing. Just give it a shot, you know? That's all. I feel strongly about that, you know, and I hope that Schumer bill goes through. I think Cuomo's taking it too far with that.
There's a guy who owns a restaurant down the street from me, and I walk by him every day. And he was like my barometer for how the small business reaction to all this was. So when they first opened up, he was, you know, basically bitching and complaining that he had to build something in the street so they could have seating, but he did it. And then at one point I'm walking by and he like got really animated and he started dropping the F-bomb. Like, and I was like, this is not how this guy normally acts. And I was like, what's up, man? And he was like, you're telling me they can go get a massage and get their nails done, but you can't go inside my restaurant. And he was freaking out. And I was like, look, man, you're talking to the wrong guy. I'm not going to get a massage. I'm not getting my nails done, but I'll come eat at your restaurant. That's all I got for you.
No, I mean, some of it is crazy. And I feel like, I don't know. I hope that bill goes through because I feel like, it, you know, especially the places where it's super low, we have to like find some model to open up again, you know?
So what are other comedians doing over the last couple of months? Is anyone practicing? Are they getting better? Or is everyone just like, fuck it?
No, we just started like performing outside in New York. Like comedy clubs are having patio shows and stuff like that. I had shows in like, you know, outside venues. We can do that still while it's warm. So we're performing locally and doing that as much as we can and seeing each other. And I don't know if we're getting better, but we're starting not to get as awful. It's getting a lot. It's definitely, I'll say this, I definitely feel comfortable and I can do my hour now. I can headline again. And so I don't know if I'm writing a whole new one, you know, but practicing on patios, but with blue haired ladies screaming about the patriarchy. But I do know that I don't think I'm getting worse again. So, and I think people need it. Like the crowds have been really good. I mean, I will say that they haven't been as large as we'd like them to be. We're not making the living that we're making at all, but you know, the people are coming out and it feels good to do stand up right now. You know, people are hurting.
Absolutely. When is your next one? This is going to get published on Tuesday. You've got one on Wednesday.
So my next one is on September 30th. At the Stress Factory in New Jersey. And it's outside kind of like heated tent kind of thing. And there'll be mozzarella sticks and
good beer. Jokes.
jokes. I don't know. That's why I go places for the mozzarella sticks and the beer. I always say that before. Let me snack.
What city is this?
This is in, hold on, I have to check. Isn't that sad?
The Stress Factory? Is that
New Brunswick. Called? New Brunswick.
All right. The Stress Factory?
It's called the Stress Factory. So if you want to get tickets, you go to newbrunswick.stressfactory.com and then you can get tickets to see me at 7:30. And it's my birthday. So keep
me happy. Oh, it's your birthday?
Yeah.
Oh, nice. All right. Everyone go buy tickets. Duh. No brainer. I know a bunch of you live in New Jersey. Go do it. What's going on with the pilot and with the television, Netflix, all the things that everyone thinks comedians sit around and do all day?
Well, I mean, all I watch personally in terms of watching is murder. I can't get enough true crime. I don't know what that says about me, but I can't go to sleep until I've seen like a Forensic Files and a Wives with Knives for some reason. Like my husband handled pandemic anxiety, you know, having a baby and global pandemic anxiety by like, he's a researcher. So he just over researches everything. And I'm the opposite. Like we got a car recently and I would come home and he would just like kept like having those car videos playing with like cars on different terrain and stuff. And it was just so boring. I could weep. And he was always just like, what do you think of this? You know, like I know nothing. He could bring home like a Ford Dart and I'd be like, oh, so I guess it comes from money. You know, like I don't give a shit. I just was like, how about the kind of car where you can put your cell phone and it just charges it? You know, like you could just balance it there. He's like, I can't buy an SUV based on whether it can charge my cell phone in a certain way. And I was like, that's all I cared about. But he over researches everything. So he dealt with his pandemic fear by just watching a lot of like diaper hacks and like, you know, Jackson's tummy time tips, like baby Jackson's tummy time. That's what he did. I would get into bed. And not me, my fireman husband would lay there in his uniform watching like some, like one of those, you know what I mean? Those YouTube twats that are like, so anyway, with my first kid, Jackson, we were able to do sleep sacks and Truman didn't take as well to it. Runner was really amazing with sleep sacks. So every baby's different. And I'm like, please stop.
Listen, I got to defend him. Here's the thing that people don't understand. So I'm watching a friend of mine go through this right now. He's having his first kid. Mm-hmm. Guys don't know anything about anything. Like we all went somewhere for a weekend and we were all standing in the kitchen and I like, you know, I got real confident and I was like, all right, I'm gonna ask some questions here. Like I'm gonna get a little bit of education. And as soon as I start asking questions, like my wife is like staring across the kitchen at me, like ready to murder me. And I was just like, like that cord, what's up with the cord thing? Like, you know, they like cut it. And she, you know, they're like looking at me like, what do you mean? And by the way, the guy who's having the kid is getting the education at the same time. Like he doesn't know any of this. And so it's like, I don't think people understand, like you're going from zero to having to be educated. I kind of sort of know some of this stuff. And like, now I just got to learn the details. It's like, I've never even heard of that topic before. Now let me go get educated and be ready for this human to like be under my control.
That is true. And guys have no idea. They have some strange impulses. He was like, can I put the baby in a swing at the park? I'm like, no, she's 4 months old. You can't just put her on a swing. She doesn't have, like, were you just going to do that? Were you just going to drop a 4 month old on a swing and like see what happened? But all that being said, I will say I am kind of like worthless too. I didn't read any books. You know, I just wanted to watch serial killer documentaries when I was pregnant. So we had a baby nurse and she told me everything. You know, I mean, she just explained everything. And I was sitting on her bed at one point after we had the baby and it was like a perfectly made bed because she just does everything in that perfect little baby nurse way. Like, I'm like, I'll never be able to replicate this when this woman is gone. And all of a sudden she looked at me and she was like, oh my God, you're bleeding. And I was like, I've gotten through COVID. I've gone through everything. What the fuck now? And I looked down and I realized that I had smeared my protein bar all over the bed of this lovely woman who's like helping me care for my newborn baby. And there was just like fudge and like cranberry from a protein bar. And I was like, I am a pig. How can I keep a human alive? So that was kind of my experience. I'm not like a normal mother, you know, and I could tell that.
But if you start every sentence with as a mother,
yeah. And then you just strip protein bar all over the baby nurse's bed.
What's the craziest thing you've blamed on being a mother? Like, what's the thing that you've like, just like, no worries, I'm a mother.
I mean, anything. I'll have like a smear of Jaeger on my cheek. And I'm like, I'm sorry, mom. You know how like all those moms, they always have like Instagram headings, like boxed wine is my juice box or whatever, you know? So I kind of try to get in on that. Like, I'll check my wine with my whining or whatever. And so I usually try to do that, but with like, you know, Jaeger or harder liquor, you know? I'm like 10 shots of whiskey.
Polina's been showing me these TikToks. There's like a mom TikTok thing. And they're all different moms all over the country. And they like basically create content for each other on TikTok where their kids are. And I'm sure the kids aren't excited that their moms are on the same platform or whatever.
Oh, interesting.
But they're just like, you know, when the baby goes to bed, and literally every video is the same. They're just chugging liquor. And I'm like, okay. And so hearing you talk about Jaeger, I'm like, there is a reoccurring theme here.
Yeah, but with them, it's usually just like a glass of rosé or something. Somehow it feels acceptable. But my husband doesn't drink anymore, so I'm not as worthless as I used to be. He quit drinking a couple years ago. So now it's more like just falling asleep, eating, just doing a lot of feeding in bed and passing out. That's how I numb myself.
What's been the biggest surprise since you had a kid?
Honestly, you know, I thought I had a lot of fear about it because I was like, what if I don't connect to her? Especially because I'm an oversharer. Like I'll tell anybody anything. I hang out for like 5 minutes and I'm just like, so I still have some anger at my dad, but I'm feeling better about it, you know? So I was like, what if I don't connect to her? Because I'll tell people. I was like, I'll be that woman at a barbecue. Like, isn't it weird that I don't love her? Like, I'll have one Corona and just start telling people. And I'm like, that'll be worse than not loving her. I won't be able to not tell people and it won't be cool. So thank God I think I had so much anxiety about it and like fear and focused on all the potential catastrophic things happening on top of what was happening, you know, in the world, that I didn't consider all the good and fun parts. So it was like pleasantly surprising, you know, and I was like, I loved her right away, which makes me a hero, I think, right? Sorry, my husband just walked in and out of the room. So obviously,
probably because he heard you talking about the fact that you were worried about not loving your daughter.
Well, I was like, it is a thing you hear about that women don't connect. That happens. It doesn't mean they don't eventually love. In the beginning, sometimes women have postpartum or they have some issue and they don't like bond as early. A lot of women will say that they don't bond right away or something. And then they slowly do. Usually. I don't know anybody that still doesn't love their kid, but.
the 15-year-old, that's the one. We just don't really hit it off.
I mean, sometimes there is a hole in the team, you know, you'll see three kids and you're like, they definitely love that one the most, you know, not the other one. So, but luckily we only have one kid and loved her right away. I think because I had so much nerves about it that I was just so pleasantly surprised, and she's very cute. So I'm pretty into it. It's fun. It's like a movie. Like she just entertains us. She does silly little things all the time. She's very cute. Yeah.
I feel like you guys seem to have like done pretty well with this, like coronavirus, protest, riots, baby, like still alive. You have a car, it charges your phone. Like there's progress going on in your house.
He's an amazing dad, like does everything.
Does he have the front backpack?
Yes, he has the carrier thing. Nice. He's got all of that. And he's obsessed, like jumps up every time she cries. When I was pregnant, he was like somewhat worthless. Like we got on, when I was in Florida, he was with me. And then we went back to the airport after. We had to fly. And it was like, you know, May 15th, whenever the Golden State Warriors got. So, and then he boarded the plane without me. I went to get a water. I was 7 months fucking pregnant. He boards the plane without me. And firemen are
maybe he thought you were on the plane.
No, he thought I went to get a water and I was taking too long. And I got on the plane. I'm like, what the fuck? And he was like, I just thought I'd like get situated. I'm like, there's nobody even on this plane. There was like a third of the people were even on the plane. You thought you'd get yourself situated? I was like, what in the fuck were you thinking? But he's firemen, because they're first responders and maybe other first responders too. They're like underreactors in those situations. It's like having an argument with like the 911 operator. You know, whenever you hear those tapes and you're like, that poor woman, like, won't she at least put some warmth in her voice? Like, I know she can't say certain stuff, but just be like, don't, we'll be right there. They're always like, all right, ma'am. Okay. You know, that's what it's like with him. I'm like, where the fuck were you? He's like, yeah, just thought I'd get situated. I'm like, do you not understand how insanely awful that is? He's like, yeah, I guess I just figured you'd be on your way. And I'm like, no. So he was that. He was that.
He may have just been checking the plane for COVID, making sure that he got it off before you got there.
I mean, it was astonishing. But then I think, you know what? But the baby, I mean, also maybe it's something about a girl. I don't know. I mean, he'll do everything for her. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great.
He'll do it all. So he's definitely very into being a dad.
I feel like that is the one thing that every guy talks about is like, it's a rite of passage. You get the little carrier thing, strap it on your chest. You walk down the street, little baby's bopping around. Can't put it in a swing. I now know that. I'm glad that he figured that out before I ever have a kid. So I know that rule. I got to ask you, I have not seen it yet, but I've had multiple people tell me the movie, King of Staten Island, I think it's called.
Yeah.
Is that the one? It's about
FDNY and Pete Davidson. Yes. Pete Davidson's dad died in 9/11. And so it's about like what his life kind of, it's sort of, he's not a comedian in the movie, but it's about his life and his family. You know, some things are changed, but.
Did you guys watch it?
Yeah, I watched it separately from him, but it's really good. It's excellent.
Is that what the.
And Bill Burr, who's a good friend of mine and a comedian, and he's amazing and super talented and is incredible in it.
Yeah. I went on Bill Burr's podcast and he was screaming about the Federal Reserve for like half the time to the point where I thought he was going to run for president.
He's always equally furious about like, it could be.
He's super educated though. That's the scariest part is a comedian who's educated and mad. Like I was very impressed with how much he knew, but he was very mad and I was there for it. I loved it. Is that what the FDNY culture is like in that movie?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it is very accurate. I mean, this is also like a while ago, but you know, it's definitely very accurate. I mean, there's a subculture to the fire department and they understand each other in a way nobody else does. It's a lot like comics in a way, except, you know, again, they save people's lives and we're narcissists, but they work off adrenaline, you know, their highs are really high and then the downtime is like awesome, you know, so, and the lows are very low and very scary. So it's like, there's this language they speak that nobody else speaks. Like when we hang out at the table at the Comedy Cellar, this club that is kind of my home club when I'm in New York and I miss being there so much now. We just sit at that table and like slam wings in our dumb faces and just say unspeakable things to each other, you know? And then a comedian will come up with his girlfriend or a female comic will come up with her boyfriend or whatever. And the comics get annoyed. They're like, oh, so-and-so had to bring and we'll call them a civilian. We'll be like, oh, they had to bring a civilian, you know, because we can't speak the way we speak because we're disgusting. We're animals. And we just say like crazy nonsense that other people will be called by, and firemen are the same.
Are people going to get offended?
Just, we don't feel like we could talk as comfortably, you know, with non-comics. I think that's how a lot of comedians feel. And like, also people that aren't comedians, they'll sort of come and try to be on in a certain way or be like, I should be a comedian. You should put that in your skit. You should put this in your skit. We're crazy. You've got to come to my job. You get that a lot. Like, you should come to where I work. And I'm like, I don't really need to go to like the store you work at in Tampa. Like, I have a good idea of what happens there. I'll get material, I think, on my own. But people do that. And so comics get like weird. They don't want, they just want to be comedians and not think about it.
Yeah. I think it's Kevin Hart's got a piece where he's like, people come up to him and they're like, hey man, be funny. And he's like, what the fuck? Like, and they're like, yeah, come on, let's go. Like, tell me a joke. And he's just like, this isn't how this works. Like, and he has this whole thing about just like, people expect comedians to be funny 100% of the time, no matter where they are at all. Like literally just walk up to you while you're eating dinner and be like, Rachel, come on, tell me a joke. Like, that's your job.
Yeah. They don't understand you have like other aspects to your, there are a lot of people that do and they're really lovely, but a lot of times people from the audience right after the show will sort of expect you to be funny or they'll come up and kind of neg you, like give you shit and think like that's how you like to be talked to or something. So it's weird. And firemen is the same kind of thing. When I stop by the firehouse, like I feel like the chemical change in the room when I walk into that firehouse kitchen because I want to be like, no, I'm an animal too. Like you can keep saying the disgusting things you were just saying. to hear my friends were like 10 times worse. But there's some weird similarities, you know?
Have you walked into the firehouse yet and just roasted a bunch of them? Like, I feel like that immediately puts you on even playing field. Just walk in one day and just the worst things that you would say to your comedian friends, just go down the line, every single fireman. And my guess is that not only will they not be mad, they'll just come right back. And then your husband will have to go like, hey guys, come on.
I mean, I wouldn't do that because they don't know me like that, but I don't know them to fuck with them like that. You know what I mean? But I will. He's what's called a bouncing captain. So he goes to different firehouses. So he might be at one firehouse this week, and another firehouse next week, and he's the boss. So the guys are like, you know, nervous around him. So it's fun to drop in because they don't know that I'm his wife at the beginning. So there's one firehouse where they all stand outside and they like the younger guys, there's like a little bit of a separation, you know, between the boss, like he wouldn't go out with them or whatever. So he'll be up in his office smoking a cigar or watching youth porn or something. And I'll walk up outside, and then like, so the young guys, they stand outside with dog treats so that if a cute girl comes by with a dog, they can give it to her, you know? So it was like Halloween, and I walked up kind of slowly. And one of the guys did that thing where he looks back at the other guy and tells him there's an ass worth reviewing as you're passing. They go like, you know, and they think we don't know this. Like, this is the most simple, obvious eye contact. And I was very flattered that I had an ass worth reviewing, but they could do this. And he looks back at his friends. And then, so they all look. And so then I just kind of slowed down. And it was like, you know, Halloween, so there's a lot of drunks in the street. So I was like, it's really scary out there, boys. First of all, thank you for your service. I think I could come in for a little bit and take cover. Just a lot of douchebags out there and I'm frightened, you know? And they just did not expect that. So one of the guys was like, yeah, sure. Come on in. We get some snacks in the kitchen. Yeah, absolutely. Come in, you know? So I walk in, I'm like, is Captain Brennan here by any chance? And they just like turn fucking white, you know? And then he calls him on the little walkie. Like, he goes, boss, your boss is here. And so Pete comes down. He wouldn't give a shit, first of all. He's not jealous. He'll just hand me to anybody that asks for me. Just be like, have her back within a week or so. But, and another time I went by the firehouse, and this was fun. So sometimes I'll bring by food, like, you know, wings from the Comedy Cellar or whatever. And a lot of them are really attractive. So I'll look for any excuse to just like pop in, I baked something, you know? So I come by and I have a box. They get very suspicious of outside food, right? Because people bring probably like weird, jacked up, gangrenous things, like just some old lady that brings them some strange shit.
And they may get a chip may get implanted in their brains if they eat the cookies.
Exactly.
All right. So you bring her the box.
So they're a suspicious group in general. So I come by with this box, and these cookies I bought, and they had a tie around them. And I go to one of the guys, don't worry, I bought these, you know, I didn't bring them from my home. And then, they don't know I'm, you know, Pete's wife. And I go, and they're all tied up. You can see, I just got them from the place. And the guy was like, you like to be tied up? So one of the other guys happens to know, because he used to work in a different firehouse, but I'm Pete's wife. He's like, hey, come here, buddy. He's like, what? Do you like to be tied up? He thinks I'm just some neighborhood twat that, you know, has the hots for firemen. It's come by with cookies. One of the guys is like, hey, let me talk to you for a second, buddy. He kind of takes him on a walk around the rig, and the guy came back just shook, you know, and it was so fun to fuck with them. And I told Pete on the way home, and he's like, oh, he'll have a nickname forever for that incident, you know, but he doesn't give a shit. Again, he'll just hand me right off.
It's literally like the army. Like, you just, the culture is so different. And yeah. I feel like you get the best of both worlds, which is like, you get to participate in the comedian's world, and then you get to go and you know exactly the buttons to push in the fireman world. And they have no, like, it's unfair of you to walk in there to these unsuspecting suspects and just destroy them. And then you have like the Trump card. You're like, oh yeah, by the way, can I see the boss?
Yeah, I know. It's the best.
I love it.
I love it. Yeah. Also, it's fun just to like, I mean, it's fun to just tell everybody. Like, I tell anyone he's a firefighter. I'm like, I'll be at CVS and I'll be like, they can take their badge out. They call it TINM. And I'll be like, TINM, you know? Like, he'll be like, we're in a CVS. They just don't have the kind of gum I'm looking for. It's not a TINM situation. But I just have fun with it, you know, until a global pandemic hits.
Exactly.
But, yeah. It's it's cool though. It's a cool world, and they're fun. They're definitely a fun group, firefighters.
I love it. I love it. Well, as a new mother, where can people find you on the internet?
And you can find me at Rachel on Instagram at @RachelFeinstein_. And on,
is there that many Rachel Feinsteins that you had to get the underscore?
You know, this is going to sound like such a name drop, and it absolutely is, but I did this show with Shaq, and Shaq was like, "You're not on Instagram?" We used to do this TV show that was canceled immediately. Me and Shaq co-hosted it. He's like, "You got to be on Instagram." And so that was like not the best Shaq, but he set it up for me. He was like, "You need to do it." And he just took my phone and he did that.
And he put the underscore because you couldn't just have your name. You got to have an underscore.
I guess so, but I didn't set it up. And
you should just put it Rachel Feinstein underscore Shaq. Just put Shaq's name in there. Just give him some credit. All right. So you're on Instagram. Where else?
You can go to my website at rachel-feinstein.com. And I should let Pete say hi. He'll be happy to meet you.
All right, let's do it.
Okay.
Is he here? Yes. Yes. So for those of you that are listening and or watching, Rachel is going to get her her husband real quick. I have no clue if he's inside the house, outside the house. Maybe he's at the fire station. We're going to find out in a second. But she is now left. She's going to get him. Maybe I can do like a filibuster like they do on the Senate floor, I think, or the congressional floor. See if we can find him. He may refuse. He may say no.
No, he's coming on. He's got that. He's just trying to press down his no COVID haircut.
Yeah, I haven't cut my hair in months.
Where is he? Oh, what's up, man? Listen, I got one question.
Sure, sure.
What's the best conspiracy theory you've ever heard at the firehouse?
Oh, man. I told you about the mini stories.
By the way, I said that it sounds like it's just a bunch of Bitcoiners from Twitter, like just hanging out at the firehouse.
Oh, yeah. They read someone else's conspiracy. Like, yeah, it sounds good enough. I'll spread that one. Let's see how far this one goes, you know? It's a lot of nonsense.
My favorite thing is when you see, whether policeman, fireman, whatever, you know, like, I'm like, what do you think the two cops sitting in that car outside CVS with their lights on and they're just trying to deter people from stealing shit? What are they talking about all day? Because it's definitely stuff that the public doesn't want to hear.
Yeah. I mean, it's the same with when you're in the fire, you know, in the engine or the truck, it's, you're up front with the chauffeur and then there's the guys hanging out in the back of the cab. Sometimes I can overhear their conversation. They just start talking about the most random stuff. You know, like, oh. All right, guys, you know, it's just like zone out and look forward. That's it. That's how it is, though, you know.
I love it because of the distrust of the government, of society, etc. Right? We were talking about the temperature gun, right? And it's like, oh, I know that something's getting in my brain with the temperature gun.
That's what he said. I was like, that's insane. That's spoken like a true libertarian. They're planting a chip in my brain when they take my temperature. I like the temperature. I'm not sure.
She loves all this stuff, yeah. We disagree on when it comes to these kind of things, you know?
I'll take the temperature.
Yeah, I feel like that's the next.
Take the vaccine first. And then
I don't know about the vaccine. Yeah. I'll take my time.
But I'll let her sit down and see in a couple of years, you know?
I feel like this is the pilot that we need. Is like Rachel's like rational approach to the world. And you taking the best conspiracy theories from the firehouse and just throwing her at her and letting her react to them.
Perfect.
But he has been definitely, he was into Bitcoin from the beginning.
Not the beginning, probably, what was it, around 2013-ish, 2014.
It's a good time.
It was a good time to get in.
Who told you about it?
You know, it's funny. I just from the internet kind of thing, where it's just like I kind of listened to some of the libertarian podcasts or things like that, and they kind of started to mention it. And I remember just seeing like these articles, like I get these RSS feeds, and it was just like Bitcoin hits $10, Bitcoin hits $100. And then all of a sudden when it hit 100, I was like, all right, what is this Bitcoin thing? And I started to read up on it, you know. My only problem was then, so once I really learned about it, I'm like, wow, it sounds pretty amazing and everything. And it just had so many great fundamentals and principles to it that I'm like, yeah, I definitely want to get involved with it. And but now at this point, the price went from like 100 to like 1,000. Yep. And then it crashed down to like 800 or whatever it was, like 750. I'm like, all right, it's dipping, let's buy. So then that's when I started buying, and it dipped all the way down to like 200 or something. I kind of just forgot about it.
Until that's what he always says. He goes, when your cab driver is telling you about it, get out.
Yeah.
Facts.
When the barber's yapping about it, get out.
Yeah.
Listen,
you want out.
But I bought at a bad time. But this is could be encouraging to people that bought during the last Bitcoin boom. And now things kind of looks like things are starting to slowly rise now, but this could be like the next series for all that. And these guys could have similar stories. How
this is what I got him for Christmas. It's because he said so much.
When your bastard's yapping about
when your barber's yapping about it, get out.
That's true. Listen, that's true.
Like once guys at the firehouse kitchen start talking, like the people that aren't invested, I'm just like you'd ask them, like, you know, because what are the fundamentals about it? What do you know about it? It was just purely about making money. I'm like,
Pete's definitely gonna have, he's got like a activist short fund. He's just gonna go around the firehouse and say, hey, what are the hot stocks? Like, let's go short all of those.
Yeah. That's it. Once you hear the fireman start talking about it, it's just like that quote. All right, get out. That'll be the indicator. It's like, all right, let's take some money off the table kind of thing. Yeah.
But I hear all this stuff all the time. It's like, money is imaginary. So I get little bits.
It's true. That's a fact.
That I agree with. Money is fiction.
The conspiracy theorists of the world, the reason why we all get along is because we're probably more right than wrong, right? Yeah, sure. There's a couple of ones that we're not right about, but if you think about it, like, well, it's probably more true than not.
Yeah, exactly. It's a little degree of something, right?
And the worst part is I'm assuming that if there's ever something that comes out to prove one of them correct, it's game over because the next 100 of them are for sure, you know, they're just like that last one that was true, right? It's like you give them a little bit of confidence and they're like, oh God, here we go.
I don't understand very much about money, to be fair. So that's not my territory. He talks about it and I...
Well, the dollars are fake and the Bitcoin is real. That's all you got to remember.
Okay, that's what I'll remember. I got it, Poppy. He said that exact sentence to me, by the way, many a time. Congratulations again on your marriage. Yeah, and are you going to have, before I go, or do you think you guys are going to create a human?
Well, now that I know that the 4-month-old can't go on a swing, I'm prepared.
That's a good lesson.
Pete, we were talking about the rite of passage of getting the carrier that goes in front, like the little backpack thing where the baby goes in. That's like a big step, right? That's like a dad.
You definitely have to practice. You make fun of me because I'd practice stuff beforehand.
He would do drills, you know. Well, yeah. Every fireman's got a bunker, by the way. They've all got bunkers.
You're laughing, but if he put the child in the backpack and it fell, you would have been horrified. No, yeah.
She was thinking about it with the pack and play, right?
He'd be like, we gotta get the pack and play down. Gets up in the morning. We gotta figure this out. We gotta get it down. It was like always, how can I put it up and down in under 60 seconds? I'm like, there's a supply and demand issue with trying to
get it up the other, and down under 60 seconds. That's the other problem with cops, firemen, soldiers, et cetera. It's like when I went through basic training, they gave us a gun and they're like, hey, here's how you take it apart, like the M16. Next thing you know, literally within like 3 days, people are literally having races doing it blindfolded, you know, with like one hand. And it's just like, oh, this is competitive. Sure. Like I bet you I can do it faster than you. So what's different with the baby equipment?
Exactly.
Oh yeah.
Who's putting their baby to sleep the fastest? You
know? It's always a race.
All right, guys.
You guys would be good parents from what I know. You seem like a happy couple. So,
yeah, we're just having fun. Whatever. Yeah. We're gonna let you guys make all the mistakes and then we'll just be perfect. It's like,
I mean, when you're ready, we waited until like the bottom of the ninth. Yeah. So take your time. Thank you so much though. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Tell me the website one more time where people can go in New Jersey and listen to you or actually just eat mozzarella sticks and drink beer.
It's hold on. I'm just looking at it right now. It is New Brunswick. newbrunswick.stressfactory.com. It's at 7:30 on September the 30th. Doors open at 6. Well, you know, outside doors. I don't know what that means exactly, but
6? An hour and a half before the show?
Does seem kind of early. Just get there at 6:30. That should be plenty of time. Get some food, sit down, chill. It's a good club, the Stress Factory. Like their outside situation night here is very good. Like it's heated, there's usually generally pretty full crowds there and they have, good mozzarella sticks. So get involved.
All right, guys. Thank you guys so much for doing this.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Bye.